Amen. Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here this morning, book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24. And the title of my message here this morning is Shining as Lights in an Evil Generation. Shining as Lights in an Evil Generation. Proverbs 24, verse 1 says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." If you hold your finger there, turn to the book of Daniel here, last chapter in the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Let me read verse 3 again. "And they that be what? Wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Pray with me here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look into your word here this morning as being lights in this dark world, Father, I pray that you would use this message for your glory and your honor. I pray, Lord, that the words that you've established, and Father, your word will not return void and empty of what it was sent to do, for your word is powerful, quick, sharp, alive, dividing asunder the soul and spirit, God. You know all things, and you search our hearts by your spirit. Father, I pray that your spirit would do its perfect work in each heart here this morning. And Father, as we look at this topic of righteousness, wisdom, wickedness, and evil, I pray that you guide us here this morning as your people. And Father, I pray that you would bring glory and honor yourself. Help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word. And I thank you for Jesus Christ, who's head of the church. And Father, I thank you that one day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus is Lord. So, Lord, bless this message to your people's hearts and to your glory. And I'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Daniel says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." You know, Jesus said in the New Testament that we're to be a city that's set on a hill, that the brightness of our... He said, don't light your candle and hide it under what? A bushel. God wants us to be a light and a testimony to this dark world. And in this world we live in, we're seeing the polarization and the light and the darkness, the fruit, the tares and this wheat are coming to fruition. We're seeing what's happening in our world as these forces are colliding with each other. And if you're a wise person, you'll look at verse 2 in Daniel, "And many of them asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt or abhorrence." Now, if you're wise, which group do you want to be in? Which group do you want to be in? The wise. You want to be in the group that has everlasting life, that knows God, loves God, serves God, and is part of his kingdom. Because you're foolish if you want to go down the path of evilness and wickedness. I believe in the heart of everybody, you have a fork sometime in your life where you either choose to be good and follow God's ways, or you choose to be evil and follow the ways of Satan. You have this fork that people go down one or two paths. Now turn to Proverbs here. What's a proverb? I've said it before. Proverbs is a short, pithy saying that's short on words but long on experience. It's very condensed. It's distilled wisdom. And God's saying to here in just a few words, be thou not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Now, if you are a parent raising some children in Chicago, would you want your son to join the neighborhood gang? That wouldn't be a good move, would it, for your child? Join a gang. You know, you better be careful who you associate with. Because if you run with an evil crowd, they're going to pull you down. They're going to work on you. And God's given us a warning here. Be thou not envious against of evil men. Don't you envy them. Because what is their ultimate? An evil person that rejects God, rejects the plan of salvation, that has no time for God, what's their ultimate destination? Hell and the lake of what? Fire. Does that sound like a good deal? No, that's not a good deal. And we want to be ever so careful that you don't get desensitized to sin. Now, it's been said before, we've heard it many times. You put a frog in a pot of boiling water, and if you increase it, I think it's 0.7 of degree a minute, you can keep cranking that puppy up, and that frog won't jump out until you've cooked him. It's ever so subtle, the change. And what Satan tries to do to us as God's, he moves us ever so subtly along, and we get desensitized to sin. Be thou not envious of evil men, neither desire to be with them. Now, how do you recognize sin? If you use your own heart as your guiding system, what does Jeremiah 17:9 says? The heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. If you use your heart as your guidance, I got news for you. You're going to end up in a place you don't want to be because you cannot guide yourself morally listening to your own heart. Because we're sinners by nature and by choice. We go the wrong way. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We go the wrong way. How do you recognize evil? Well, you have to have a standard. Why did God give us the law? Why did he give us the Ten Commandments? We looked in Sunday school. To keep us from going off what? The rails. From going the wrong way. It teaches us right and wrong. And we need that guiding light of God's word. How do you recognize evil? You better know the scriptures. How do you recognize what God is displeased with? You better know the scriptures. How do you recognize what's going to bless you or what's going to curse you? You better know the scriptures. Now, we as God's people, we study the scriptures. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. You study, you know. But what does an evil person do? Look at verse 2. For an evil person, their heart studieth violence, destruction. That's what they do. They study, but not the right things. And their talk is of mischief or trouble. That's what they talk about. That's what they study. Now, I talked to a man one time, and he was very good in finances and taxes and all this kind of stuff. And he told me when he was going to all of his classes, accounting classes, that him and his buddy sat down one night and they were thinking, well, how can we get out of paying taxes? Not in a legal way, but in an illegal way. How can they skirt the system not to pay their fair share of taxes? And I thought to myself, why are you studying that? Do you know what I'm saying? Because if you're an evil man, guess what? You're going to study your ways to how you can take advantage of people, you can rip people off, how you can get what's not yours. You study violence, destruction, trouble, mischief. That's what your heart's studying. Their heart study. If you're an evil person, that's your frame of mind. That's where you're going. Now, for parents, be careful who your young people idolize. Are there some idols in our culture that aren't good for young people? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, they are. There's plenty of role models out there that should not be role models. Now, I heard one person say this, and I thought it was quite insightful. Now, if you got a plumbing problem, who do you call? A plumber. If you got an electrical problem, who do you call? An electrician. If you got a medical problem, who do you call?
Doctor.
If you got an accounting problem, you call an accountant. How many of you ever called an entertainer to help you with your problem? Has anybody called an entertainer here to help them out of a problem? Then why do they have such a platform? They never help people that way. Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes we idolize the wrong thing. And you better be careful who you turn to, because if they fall into the camp of an evil person, evil men, God tells you, neither desire to be what? With them. So what does that mean? We've got to be careful who we zero in on to get our advice, our counsel, how we do life. Because there's evil people out there. Now, with evil people, Jesus says, wolves come to you dressed in what? Sheep's clothing. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're raving wolves. How do you discern that? You need some what? Wisdom of God. You need to be discerning enough that you can spot a counterfeit and not get sucked in. And there's plenty of them out there. And we have to be ever so wise as God's people. Be thou not envious of evil men, neither desire to be with them. Why? Their heart studies violence, destruction. Their lip talks of trouble, mischief. Now, if you go down the road of an evil man, I've shared this story before, and I've seen this morning. I wish I could remember the guy's name. I can't. But back in the 20s, there was a guy that all he would rob from was the rich and the famous. You had to be somebody way up there. And he'd always leave a card behind with his name if he robbed you. Okay? And guess what happened to him one day? I mean, he robbed. And so it's almost got to be, if you were robbed by him, you were really somebody because he robbed you. Okay? That's how bizarre it got. But one day they caught him, put him in jail. A newspaper man came after he'd been there a number of years and interviewed him and said to him, "Sir, who did you rob the most from?" And without hesitation, he said, "I robbed the most from me." Because he's sitting behind bars now. That's who he robbed the most from. And Proverbs is very practical here. Be now thou envious of evil men, neither desire to be what? With them. If you learn their trade, you're going to be in trouble. And you've got to be, as a young person, ever so wise, because evil people will say all kinds of things to you. Just come. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. It's all right. You won't get caught. It's a lot of fun. Just come with me. It won't hurt. Get out of there. Don't desire to be with them. Because you have to know your boundaries. When you're a son and daughter of Almighty God, you want to be a righteous person. Now, why do people lie and steal and cheat and swindle and do people wrong and hurt people? Because they want to gain things. But Jesus says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own what? His own soul. I would put that person in the category of what? A fool. Okay? Very foolish. Now, if you want the blessings of God, look at verse 3. 1 and 2, that's what we looked at. Verse 3, through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Now, if you're building a house, you have blueprints, you have a plan, you buy some land, you get some lumber, you get nails, you start framing that thing up, you get windows and doors and siding and roof and drywall and electric and plumbing and heating and everything. And all of a sudden, after it's all done, you got a house built. But you need wisdom to build it. And how do you build a life? How do you build relationships? You know, for us as God's people, you know, building a house, because it's carrying the idea here, through wisdom a house is built, by understanding, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. If you want material things, God can give you a way you can get it the right way. You don't have to be an evil person. You don't have to be evil to be blessed. Through wisdom. You don't have to be one that steals in order to have. If you're wise, you can work hard and enjoy the fruit of your labors. Job was a rich man. And he didn't steal to get it. He worked hard and God blessed him. And building a life, you want to build your life in a certain way that you can be blessed at the latter end. Through wisdom a house is built, an understanding is established. Now, verse 5, a wise man is what? Strong. A wise man strong. A wise man is strong. You know what you believe, you know why you believe it, and you're not going to let it go. No matter how much somebody wants to take it out of your hand. If somebody came up to you and said, there is no God, would you say, okay? Or would you say, that's a lie? See, a wise man's strong. Somebody tells you a lie, guess what? You want to push back at it. That's not true. I don't believe that. I'm not going to accept that. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not what? The assembling of ourselves together. Okay? Now, a strong man is going to see that his family's in church. That's a strong man. Because he's going to work and guide and direct his home after the ways of the Lord. In Canada, I shared this a few weeks ago, Jamie Coates, pastor at Grace Life, they want to shut his church down. 15% maximum. Capacity. And he asked the government, why are you doing this? What is the medical reasons you are doing this? Give me the, and they would not provide him any understanding why they reached this conclusion. And he said, well, until you can convince me that this is a medical emergency, we will still hold church because God says the saints of God should worship together. He spent over 30 days in jail. Because he wouldn't close his church down. They released him. He still got legal things. But recently they barricaded his church around and now they're meeting underground, a secret location. Has that been hard on him? A wise man is what? In verse 5, a wise man is what? Strong. Are there battles you have to fight to hold righteousness? Is there battles? Okay. We need some strong men that are wise in the things of God that will not give in to the world and follow things that are contrary to the teachings of Scripture. We need some strong men. When Daniel was said, you can't pray for 30 days. Now, what could he have done? He could have gone on vacation, couldn't he? He could have gone and gone to the mountains and prayed and nobody ever seen him. But he didn't do that. You know what he did? He went to his window, as he did three times a day, and bowed his knees and gave thanks to his God, just like he did before time. Because if he had done less than that, what would that have said of him? If he had done less than that, what's this? That he feared man and didn't trust God. And Jesus says, if you love me, you're not going to be ashamed of me. And Daniel said, I can't act like my God isn't real to me. I can't act like he's not true. So he just did what was the right thing to do. And where did it get him? Thrown where? Den of lions. But was God with him? God was with him. And see, when a man is strong for goodness and righteousness, it doesn't mean he's not going to have problems. God will go with you through the fire and the troubles. But a wise man is strong because he knows at the end of the day, one with God is what? Majority. And he's going to stick with God no matter what else happens. He's going to do the right thing. Does America need some more strong men? We do. We need some men that are going to stand up for me and my house. As Joshua said, we're going to what? Serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And I don't care how the culture goes. This transgender and stuff. This one celebrity said that they were gender fluid. And I thought, what does that mean? Gender fluid. To me, that's just a bunch of yuck, yuck, spit, spit, pooey, pooey. It doesn't mean anything. That's all it means, nothing. And you know, when somebody tells you a lie like that, you say, I'm so sorry, that's wrong. God made them what? Male and female. That's it. Your chromosomes and your DNA don't change, no matter who you say you are. Because ultimately what they're trying to do, they're trying to play God. That's what they're trying. I'm trying to be my own little God. And guess what? It doesn't work out well for you. I'm telling you right now, it does not work out well for you. You go down that road. But we need some strong people because evilness is rising up. But strong men will rise up too. Verse 5, a wise man is strong. A wise man is strong. And what did we read in Daniel here this morning? It said, and many of them asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be what? Wise? A wise man is strong, shall shine as a brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to what? Righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You be strong, and guess what? You're going to turn some people to righteousness. Because they're going to look at you and say, why are you doing this? Why are you pushing back at the culture? Because you tell them why. God said so. And I believe the Bible. And I know God saved me. And I'm going to live as if I know God. Because I do know God. And I'm not ashamed of him. And we need to be strong in these days. A wise man will be strong because they know at the end of the road. It's like the farmer put on his barn. At the end of the road, you're going to meet God. That is true. That is so true. At the end of the road, you're going to meet God. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is what? Safety. Now, as you go through this life, it's not easy. God's people need to draw together and give counsel to one another. Now, there's battles to be fought. We sometimes have relational issues. A husband and wife, they can be banging heads together. And the husband doesn't understand the wife. Wife doesn't understand the husband. You know, sometimes it's good if you get somebody that's skilled in relationships and understands how to bring people together. Because they can see things you don't see. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety in relationships, safety in your life, there's safety in just your walk with God. For by wise counsel, now, I'll just say this to young people. When you're young, all you know is all you know. When you get older, do you understand older people what I'm saying? When you're young, all you know is all you know, because that's all your life has been. But when you get older, guess what? You have a more mature what? Viewpoint. And you have experience. And you know that this isn't going to work out. And for young people, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You need to have a listening ear. I knew a young man one time. He would, on purpose, in church sometimes, sit down and talk to the older people. And I thought, what a wise young man. Because what he was doing, he was trying to glean from them life experiences, truths they had learned, wisdom they had gained. Because if you just run with your peers all the time, guess what you're going to hear? Only what your peers know. If you want to get a jump in life, talk to somebody older how they did life. Get their wisdom, and you'll be a blessed person. In the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom, there's safety. But you got to have a listening ear, wise counsel. We all have our own wars to fight. We all have our own battles we're engaged in. But we need the counsel of others to come alongside of us. Now, what is verse 7? You got verse 6, verse, wisdom is too high for a who? A fool. Some people are so foolish, they never have an ear to hear. You can't tell them anything. They have their mind made up, they already know everything, and all they want to do is express their own heart. They don't want to hear God, they don't want to hear godly people. They're very foolish. Wisdom's too high for them. They can't reach it. They don't want to touch it. They have no need of it, they think. Wisdom's too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. The gate was a point of leadership where the elders gathered. And they had nothing to say. Now, the word fool kind of has the idea of one that's puffed up. Do you know what a blowfish is? Okay, it's a little bitty fish that goes poof when it's frightened. That's a fool in some ways. He puffs himself up to make himself seem bigger than he really is. But he's only fooling himself. Because people see through it. He has nothing to say, no counsel, no good wisdom. The wise person can give counsel, verse 6. The fool, he can't open his mouth in the gate. He has nothing to say. Why? Because he doesn't have a listening ear. He doesn't have a heart to hear what God says. He doesn't have a heart to hear what his parents say. He doesn't have a heart to hear truth. He devises, verse 8, to do evil, shall be called a mischievous person. He plans. He plots. The thought of the foolish is sin. Even to think about it in God's sight is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to man. Shining as lights. Verse 5 says, a wise man is strong. Verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. Small. You know, where do men and women get their spiritual strength from? Where do you get your spiritual strength from? You get close to God, you're going to get some strength. Peter, when he denied the Lord, was that a weak moment for him? But do you ever catch that little phrase in Luke where it says he went out and wept what? Bitterly. You know, where was he getting his strength from? By God's presence when he wept bitterly. And then, day of Pentecost came. What did the disciples get on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit. What did that do for Peter and the other apostles then? What did Peter do on the day of Pentecost? He preached the word of the Lord. And he wasn't afraid anymore because he knew who he believed. And he knew Jesus Christ rose from the dead and victorious over the grave. And he wasn't ashamed of that. And he was strong then. But if you're weak, you get in God's presence and you ask God to fill you with holy boldness. And you ask God to give you some strength on the inside that you can be strong and not be ashamed of the gospel. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, I remember James Dobson shared this story. In Germany during World War II, when they were taking the Jews away, there was a small church set by the railroad tracks, and the train cars would come down the tracks and stop near the church, and all the Jews, like cattle, would be loaded on these tracks going to the concentration camps. And right outside the church building, they'd be screaming and crying out. And you know what they did at the church during that time? They just sang a little louder. That was what they did. They just sang a little louder. What did Corrie ten Boom do during that time that the Jews were being rounded up? What did she and her family do? They hid them in their house. If you see evil out there, how does that affect you? If you see something going down that's not right, how does that affect you? If you see something happening that's not right in God's sight, how does that affect you? Because if it doesn't move you to do something for righteousness' sake and to help the helpless, then your strength is small. I remember watching The Hiding Place and in the movie, Corrie ten Boom's father loading him on. He was an old man. He said, "Sir, if you'll stop hiding these Jews, we'll just let you go." And as he looked up at them, at the Gestapo, and he said, "I'll never stop helping God's chosen people if they need help." So they put him on the wagon, and away he went. You know, do you believe in right and wrong? Do you believe there's a truth worth standing for? Do you believe there's a line in the sand that, as for me and my Christian faith, this is where we stand? What if you're Martin Luther and they're on the streets selling their indulgences? You know, give the Pope some money and you can have forgiveness of sins. And Martin Luther says, "That's not right. People can't buy their salvation. That's not right." And the Catholic Church arrests you and puts you on trial and saying, "You have to recant. If you don't recant, you're going to be killed." What would you do? Would you recant? You know what Martin Luther said? He said, "If the Word of God and my conscience says it's true, then I'll recant. But if the Word of God says it's not true and my conscience says it's not true, I'm not going to recant." And he said, "God help me." Wise men is what? Strong. They know their Redeemer liveth. They know they're going to meet God. If thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength's small. You're not there yet. You know, I think God needs to raise up some men and women that are going to stand for truth in our land. There's a lot of lies going through our culture. Is that right? It's everywhere. But where are the Christians to say this is wrong? Where are the moms and dads say, "Son, you're not going to live this way. That's wrong." You see, time is going ever so quickly. Verse 12, "Thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Does not he that ponders the heart consider it? God knows. And he that keepeth thy soul, does he not know it? And shall it not he that rendereth to every man according to his works?" You know, don't try to impress people. Just try to honor God in all you do, because God will honor you, because he knows your heart. He knows your motive. He knows what you do, why you do it. There is so much more that could be said here in this chapter. So much more here. What did Daniel say? Daniel 12. He said this. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, may we let our light so shine before men that may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And may we be as the brightness of the firmament, our light shining in this dark world, that they might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. That this unbelieving and unregenerate world would find Christ through our witness, through our testimonies, and our righteous life that we live. God, make us strong. God, strengthen us. Lord, help us to be men and women that are strong, that are wise, to consider the times in which we live in. We only have one life to live, and it will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ shall last. So, Lord, help us toward this end to live for Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.